Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. Beautiful Saturday morning here on the other left coast, as I like to say, the East Coast. I'm your host, Evie, also known as Emu, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio on my show called Let's Think About This. So thank you again for joining me. If you are up early right now and you want to call in, let me give you the calling number. It's 347-989-1284. That's 347-989-1284. And call in, and so we can chat for a few during my next 5 minutes or so of the show. Again, I thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Evie, also known as E-News, broadcasting live on the Let's Think About This show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, today, we're going to talk about language and words and what this all means and the meaning of the words and the meaning of the context and things like that. This came about because earlier this week, I think it was Wednesday, it was Thursday, the University of New Hampshire posted published a bias-free language guide. Now, many of you are probably thinking or wondering, like I was when I heard that, when I hear words like that, bias-free or offense-free and things like that, you know what? It just perks up my ears, and I immediately know that it's, anyway, this University of New Hampshire, yes, all of you parents and taxpayers, we pay billions with a B dollars every year to educate our students and our children at such institutions. Nevertheless, they published it. Now, let me give a disclaimer from my most recent research this morning, within the last hour. I did a Google search, and it looks like the University of New Hampshire has removed that bias-free language guide from their website. So I guess they have gotten some pushback. But nevertheless, according to some articles that were written about this bias-free language guide, there were words and microaggression and microassault and microinsult that we have to be careful now about the language we use. Things like it's an insult or a microaggression to say America. So instead of saying America or United States of America, we're only supposed to say United States. We're not supposed to, we would cause offense, if you will, or insult if we classify people as foreigners and all kinds of foolishness. But I don't want to focus too much on just that bias-free language guide, which I cannot find a copy of it because, again, the University of New Hampshire has removed it. But I want to talk about language in general or words that we use, why it's important that we, number one, know the words we're using, define what they are, and keep the definitions consistent. You see, when words change their meaning, and when one group is allowed to have a say in what can be said and what cannot be said, they get to determine what's said. They get to determine the meaning of the word. And if they're always changing the meaning, then that keeps the other group, let's call it the less powerful group, if you will, that keeps them in the subservient position, because they'll never be able to know fully what words mean. And they'll always be on the defense, if you will, at the mercy of the more powerful group who has the power to change the meaning of words and definitions at will and at whim. So that's what we're talking about today. That's what I want to talk about today. I'd like to hear from you. What do you think? Have you come across these types of issues in your daily life, maybe with your friends or family or coworkers, where you had a word or you used a word that had been, whatever that word is or was, since time began, and it had a consistent meaning that when you use the word, you know, most people knew what you meant, but yet now as you're using it, surprisingly, you are now participating in a microaggression. And what the heck is a microaggression? See, these are the kinds of words that the left uses. And make no mistake, the left is a master of word manipulation. And some people who don't really know, I guess, a lot of history, they're kind of just caught up in it, and they don't necessarily know the historical context, following the trend with no ill intent at all or no political intent at all. But we who know better need to, number one, educate them. Number two, we need to not fall into that trap. We need to not fall into being manipulated so easily or even being intimidated because of the words we use or the words we choose to use. And we definitely do not allow and give up the fight, if you will, to have words and their meanings change, and we just kind of stand idly by and go along with it. No, may it never be. I'm your host, Evie, also known as E News. I'm broadcasting live on Let's Think About This on Blog Talk Radio. I thank you so much for joining me. If you are so inclined to join me this morning, please call 347-989-1284. 347-989-1284 is the guest call-in number. Call that number, and I'll put you on, and we'll chat for a few moments. But remember, make sure your words are what they mean, or use the words that you intend to use. I like to laugh. I like to I'm so big on irony and sarcasm. I love it. I think it's hysterical. And a lot of people who are so politically sensitive, or maybe even insensitive, politically correct, and usually 99% of them are on the left. Some of the people I meet, they don't know that they are on the left, or they don't know that they are displaying leftist tactics or leftist, responses. But nevertheless, some people just don't know how to laugh, and even have sarcasm and irony. Now, again, I am not for public humiliation in most cases, let me say that way. In most cases, I'm not for public humiliation for our politicians, yeah, but only for the things that they do concerning taxpayers and our laws, not for their personal lives. That's their business. But I don't like publicly humiliating people. I don't like humiliating people at all, but if you're going to do it, at least do it in a private conversation, one-on-one. But nevertheless, we're talking about words today. We're talking about language. We're talking about meaning. Why it's so important that we use words and their definitions consistently, and that we, I guess, conservatives on the right, take a stand and not be so bullied into being politically correct. You know, there's no law sends you against being offended. That you don't have that law. There's not a law there. Now, religious people and Christians, which I am, Christians will advocate that we speak the truth in love. Now, that doesn't mean that we sugarcoat things or we, you know, sweet talk. Actually, the Bible even talks about that, using flattering words with no meaning. That's manipulation. That's emotional manipulation. But we are to speak the truth in love, meaning that we speak the truth, but we also maintain and extol the dignity of the human, of the individual, because the human is made in the image of God. So we have that mandate. But that doesn't mean that even if we speak the truth in love, it doesn't mean some people won't be offended, I guess, or they may not take, they may be hurt. But again, we also want to offer them a place of healing and reconciliation, and to, again, keep their dignity as being made in the image of God. So I want to hear from you. If you're up early today, I am broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Evie, on the Let's Think About This show. And we're talking about words and meaning and why that why it matters that we, number one, have words, why we use them consistently, and why we even expand our vocabulary and our thinking so that we can use the words to convey the concept and the context that we are trying to teach or talk about. I'd like to hear from you. If you're listening today, the number is 347-989-1284. I'm your host, Evie, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio on the Let's Think About This show. I'm going to take a quick break, sip my coffee, and I will be right back. Welcome back. Thank you for rejoining me or staying with me. I'm your host, Evie, broadcasting live on the Let's Think About This show on Blog Talk Radio today, August the 1st, Saturday, 2015, on Eastern Time, the other left coast, is what I like to call it. So thank you so much for joining me or staying with me. Today we're talking about words and language and why it's important that we are using the words that we intend to use, and even more importantly, the words that we use, why we need to ensure definitions, to use an alliteration, if you will, that they have definitions that we are, that we all can understand, and that why we need to ensure that they remain so, because that, number one, that keeps out or minimizes much confusion. Now, there will always be people in a society who are not as educated, not as eloquent, maybe have very limited vocabulary, always. That's going to always occur. That does not mean that the vast majority of the society should, if you will, change the language or dumb it down, as we fondly say, to the lower levels or the lower echelon. That does no one put. Why would you dumb down a standard instead of having people rise to that standard? If the standard is microaggression, that's microaggression, the concept in its proper context. There's a whole body of knowledge now, or research, or in the academic world about microaggression. I'm sure you've heard the word, and it really has to do with power, privilege, discrimination. See, in sociology, sociologists and theorists and researchers, even psychologists and things like those people of those fields, but they have this trifold way, generally speaking, of looking at a society, really through race, class, and gender. Now, three big concepts, macro ideas, really, are always undergirded by by power, privilege, wealth, who's in control, who has the power. They're always kind of enmeshed over in these three concepts. So this microaggression has to do mostly or fully with discrimination, privilege, power, basically an us versus them, if you put it in street language, an us versus them concept. So, of course, now in America, where we have the academy or the people in academia, and our universities are on such a high level or high echelon of society that pretty much everything that comes out of them, you know, there's a large segment of our population that sort of salivates at anything that comes from the university. So when anything comes out from the university, largely it's looked at with such high esteem from our media, from our institutions, our schools. So this microaggression has become so prevalent now that almost anything can be considered a microaggression, because the theory is, or the way it plays out, is that if one party or one group feels offended by another party or group, then the party or group that, quote-unquote, caused the offense automatically is the one that has the power, and so they are displaying or exercising their power and control over the party, the lesser group. That's basically how it plays out. So let's do this in real life. That would mean that almost anything you or I say or do, or maybe don't say or don't do, or how we react or whatever words we choose, if someone feels offended by it, then that means we're automatically the guilty party. We are the culprit. We have done something wrong. And this is where, again, a few weeks ago I talked about trouble and get you into a lot of trouble if they are left unchecked. Everybody has feelings. Feelings are feelings. They're not wrong. They're not right. It's what we do with them, or what we do because of them, that has a lot of impact, for good or for bad. So, again, just don't be afraid when you hear the word, excuse me, microaggression or power, or when someone tries to put you on the hot spot and make you out to be a bad guy. What you need to do, and what you should be doing, is equipping yourself with information, equipping yourself with facts and words, or if you will, so that you can know how to respond. Or maybe you might choose not to respond, but that does not mean that you have to be embarrassed or feel like you are the one that's in some kind of trouble. Your mom, your dad, I'm sure some adult in your life has told you over the years while you're growing up that just because someone says something about you does not mean it's true, right? But just because someone says that they are offended by what you said or didn't say or did or didn't do does not mean that you have done something wrong. It could very well mean that they are immature, that they're ignorant, and I mean ignorant not not in a, I guess there's no way to say a bad or good way, but ignorant in the sense that they just don't know. They're just not understanding something. Or they are politically motivated. So I don't want you to fall victim or prey to just being thinking that you've done something wrong because you have spoken the truth in love, or you've just spoken from facts. That doesn't mean that you are wrong, or that does not mean that you have caused some kind of microaggression. See, microaggressions are very, 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 very much tied to feelings. And this, again, this goes back to the words and the language getting all convoluted and no one or many people not having a clear sense of what words mean. What's interesting, I find, is that the people who claim to be offended and that they have been, assaulted with a microaggression, it's interesting how they can be pretty clear on what that is, right? But yet the words that we use, they don't have a clue, or they mean so many different things that they only take it one way. I think that is so ironic. There's my irony and my sarcasm again. But that's what we're talking about today. I'm your host, Easy, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio here on the Let's Think About This show. Thank you so much for joining me. So, again, I want you to be equipped. I want you to be courageous, if you will. You know, have a sense of dignity. Don't be afraid or feel like you have to cower when you hear words or when people accuse you of a microaggression or trying to manipulate words and make you out to be the bad guy. No. Choose your words, know what they mean, and use them accordingly. And people will be offended no matter what you do. You're going to offend some people by what you do. You're going to offend some people by what you don't do. So I always say, if that's the case, number one, I don't live to try to please people's feelings. That's not why you're here. We all have a purpose. We are all made in the image of God because God created human beings. He created them male and female in the Garden of Eden, if you read your Bible back in the book of Genesis. But, again, and God spoke. God spoke. Genesis chapter 1 talks about how God spoke things into existence. He spoke, you know, the waters from the earth and the dry land from the wetland and the sea life from the birds and life of the air. He spoke these things. He breathed life into Adam and into Eve when he created them. So words are very important. I am a logophile and a bibliophile, meaning I love words, I love books, I love to discover what they mean. Even words when I don't know what they mean, I like to go home or pull up my phone and Google the words or open up a dictionary. Yes, I do still have a physical copy of a dictionary. Even my concordance that I use when I'm reading my Bible, I like to look up words and look up their roots and their prefixes and suffixes. Do kids learn these things like this anymore in school? Do they still learn these things? Well, I try to teach my kids, so I'm sure many of you do too. But I love words. I love learning how languages develop. And I have a book in my car right now. I have a disclaimer. I have not read it all. It's a pretty heavy treatise, if you will, and it's called The Origins of Language. And I forget the author's name, but it's a pretty well-known, it's been around for many years, and it's a pretty well-known, almost a reference manual of sorts on words and language. So I'm trying to get through that, but it's some pretty heavy reading. But nevertheless, I love words. Of course, I love communicating. I'm talking to you. I'm your host, Evie, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio on the Let's Think About This show. So, again, I always like to leave or wrap up my show to try to put things in context and to leave you with some encouragement. My encouragement for you is, again, keep learning. Keep expanding your thinking and your vocabulary. Even maybe listening or reading or learning about things that you thought would be so against something that you, you know, your value system. That doesn't mean you have to embrace it, but learn about it. Learn, if you will, the general ideas behind that other value system. That will give you, if you will, an edge. It certainly will increase your, expand your thinking and your knowledge, but it will give you at least an edge when you communicate with people who come from a whole different perspective. So you can at least have some, I guess, commonality of where to start. But be encouraged. Don't be fearful. Go out into the marketplace of ideas, as Janet Parshall always talks about. You know, we should be in the marketplace of ideas. We, everybody has a portion. I always say in a society, and not just me, but there's a place for everyone. Now, some people's place may be in the gutter, so, but there is a place. But as a society, we need to be clear about what belongs in the gutter and what belongs in, on the shelf, elevated in a high place, and all the things in between. But if we can't be clear about those things, if we don't have the words and the context and the language to put things in their proper places and perspective. So I thank you so much for joining me. I thank you for listening. Again, I'm Evie, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio on the Let's Think About This show, and I so appreciate you joining me, just being patient with me as I get my show back on board and trying to capture some of the pulse, if you will, pulse of the week, of the month, of the moment. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Evie. I'm about to go dance, and I'm going to give a shout-out to all of my good friends and family who are listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you all. I'll talk to you. You can see me on Facebook, or you can, I guess, message me on Facebook or post. You can also do it on Twitter under E-News. Thanks again for joining me. This is your host, Evie, broadcasting on the Let's Think About This show on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great day, everybody, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear for the whole round. I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me. Then you'd see and agree that every man should be free.